Okay, I'll start speaking. This final plenary session will focus on the long tail story short. We have three speakers for this session. So this plenary aims to give an update on the long tail classes. John Jetani will provide an update on the statutory compulsory third party or CTP business, which is a traditional long tail class. Susie Amos will expand into the experience of financial lines as well as the emerging cyber class. While Simon Guthrie will provide an update on the NDIS and the opportunities available to actuaries. There'll be again an opportunity for questions at the end and SMS as well. So I'll introduce John Jetani first. They'll speak in turn for 15 minutes each and then there's questions at the end. So John Jetani is an actuary and senior consultant at Finity Consulting, where he has worked for the past 6 years. He has particular expertise in CTP and medical indemnity insurance and has been involved in a wide variety of projects, including liability valuations, premium filings, and capital modelling. John is currently working to help insurers understand the implications of the recent New South Wales CTP scheme reforms. Outside of work, John closely follows Australian politics. How can we avoid it nowadays? And tries to keep up with his two energetic daughters. Over to you, John.
Thank you very much, Min Lee. And I've got the pleasure of being able to speak to you about New South Wales CTP today. We're going to focus ourselves a little bit because we only have 15 short minutes. I've called this presentation New South Wales CTP Third Time Lucky. We've had two, I guess, failed attempts at scheme reform in 2013 and 2016. In 2013, the Minister for Finance lost his job. And in 2016, sort of the reforms are on the table stalled. So this year we've got an act passed, we've got regulations being and guidelines worked on at the moment, and a new scheme is coming into force on 1 December this year. So what we're going to do today is we're going to consider what are the current issues that are going on in the New South Wales CTP scheme, what else is being done, what is being done in response to some of those issues that have been seen in recent years, and as we do that we'll touch on how are actuaries getting involved or have been involved in those areas. Before we turn to some of those current issues, it's worth noting and remembering that in the New South Wales scheme we're talking about currently a fault-based scheme, so a scheme where generally those that receive benefits are those that have to prove that someone else was at fault in the accident, and obviously that's different to a no-fault scheme where you get benefits regardless of who was at fault. New South Wales is a common law scheme, and so therefore the benefits or the damages that are awarded to people who are in motor vehicle accidents are determined through court processes with legal lawyers involved and negotiation involved and court judgments involved, as opposed to statutes of parliament through defined benefit schemes which set out how much of benefits is available to those who are injured. And also New South Wales is a privately underwritten scheme, so it's the shareholders of insurers that provide the capital that underwrites the risk of the CTP product, as opposed to publicly underwritten schemes where it's the taxpayers who underwrite the risk through the government. So just be aware of those things as we talk about some of these issues. CTP does vary a lot across all the states in Australia, and some issues that apply in this context to New South Wales may not apply to other schemes as well. So what are some of the issues that have been going on in New South Wales so far? We've had a big increase in numbers of claims. There are so many new claims, that's the first issue. You can see in 2011 we had around 4,000 claims a year of low severity legally represented claims, and that's just more than doubled to more recently being above 9,000. It's not explained by road casualties, in fact they've been steady over that period or falling. So what accounts for the dramatic increase in the propensity to claim at the minor claim end? Well, claim farming has been talked about a lot. It has taken hold, certainly, in the New South Wales scheme. We're referring there to organisations that have an interest in you making a CTP claim, often overseas organisations, through cold calls, calling you up. I don't know if anyone's here had a call at home asking you if you've been in an accident recently. Have you? I've had heaps. Maybe not enough of you live in Western Sydney. But nonetheless, there's been a lot of these cold calls that are coming through, and they're encouraging people to make claims, encouraging you to make a claim against the scheme. Now, some of those claims that are therefore brought as a result of those claim farming activities are otherwise meritorious claims. They would have made the claim if they knew their rights and available, whether they were available under the current scheme, and so those claims are made that otherwise would not have been made. But the concern is when activities like claim exaggeration and fraudulent activities are stirred up as a result of such activities. And so when we're talking about exaggeration, we might have an accident where someone's involved, but they're exaggerating their ability or inability to go back to work, for example, or the level of care needs that they have on an ongoing basis. And certainly fraudulent type claims, we've seen criminal activity where accidents are being staged or accidents never even happened, or people are claiming when they were never even involved in an accident at all. In terms of who is making these claims, Finity was engaged by the MAA, the regulator at the time, to undertake some statistical analysis to look at, well, where are these claims coming from? As you can see from the map over at the left, the claim increase and the numbers increasing has been quite overrepresented in the southwest Sydney area. And then if we look at a sort of a claim segmentation output just over here, we can see that the areas in southwest Sydney that have the biggest increases are claims that come from accidents where there are lots of child claims per vehicle. And so these are children claims, often for children that are very young, say 0 to 2 years old, who are wetting the bed and they're claimed to have post-traumatic stress disorder as a result of the claim. We've got the drivers involved in these accidents who have poor English skills, so potentially we've got concerns about migrant communities being exploited, and generally just unemployed drivers as well. So concerning, I guess, when you look at the profile of where these claims are coming from. We had a look at some of those concerning areas from the perspective of a network analysis. And so here we've got the service providers of New South Wales CTP claims. So we're talking law firms who represent the claimants. We're talking doctors who provide medical assessments and then treat claimants, etc. And you're kind of looking here at the relationships between these service providers. I guess in this sort of map, which has been de-identified, of course, you're looking at the branches sort of off on their own, not really connected to lots of other service providers in the scheme. So, for example, we've got here Dr. A and Lawyer A, or Law Firm A over here. That law firm only, it was established a few years ago. It had about 400 claims that it represented, and 200 of those 400 claims were dealt with Dr. A. If you know a bit about those service providers, you can clearly see, or at least you can, you'll be suspicious that there is a relationship between these service providers in drumming up these claims and potentially encouraging claim exaggeration or helping to unknowingly facilitate fraudulent behaviour. In fact, looking at the profile of the claims from this network relative to the overall scheme, we can see that the claims from that network of Lawyer A and Doctor A are coming from accidents where there's a lot more claims per vehicle. So potentially concerning claims being made from people who weren't in the accident, or maybe staged accidents where people are stuffed into vehicles. We're seeing that there are a lot more child claims coming through from that network, as well as unemployed people. We're seeing a lot more psychological injuries being added to these claims, so severe psych, acute stress. We sort of touched on that earlier with the child claims. And just generally a lot more whiplash, so that, you know, the soft tissue injuries, the minor soft tissue injuries that are on these claims. And those types of injuries are subjective to some degree, and they're quite minor and sort of easy to claim that you've been injured in that fashion. And the concerning thing about this sort of activity is that whilst there's measures to address this in New South Wales, the potential is that this can cross north of the border to Queensland, and there has been an increase in minor injury claims in the Queensland scheme. And so that's a concern, something to monitor. And there's even been anecdotal evidence of sort of claim farming activities going on in WA. So there is a need to be vigilant in this area. That's the first issue. The second issue, other than the escalation of numbers of claims, is the growing cost of claims. Through what we call the common law buffers, what we mean by that is the portion of the claimant settlement, or the damages that are paid to the claimant, that relate to sort of contingencies in the future, that someone might say, well, I might not be able to work all the way until retirement, and so I need some money for that contingency. It's not sort of very crystallised right now, but it's just something that might happen. Or I might need someone to come and mow my lawn once every 2 weeks. I might need a family member to come and help me with X, Y, or Z. And so an amount, say $10,000 or $20,000, is added to the claimant settlement through economic loss, future economic loss, or future care. And so those costs have increased quite significantly since the start of the scheme, that's the yellow bars, to where we were before the claim escalation took place. So we're seeing costs of claims go up quite a lot. Now, that's because the legal environment has become more favourable to claimants, and so that's part of it. And also legal representation has increased as well. And so, as you can see, legal costs have gone up a fair bit as well. And so lawyers are increasingly getting their due for representing the claimants and getting those kind of buffers added to the claim outcome for their clients. So that's adding to costs in the New South Wales scheme. And in addition to all of that, we've got higher numbers of claims, got increasing costs of claims. We've also got high insurer profits. So as you can see, we've got the profit there as it develops for each underwriting year in that chart. And you can see that generally, insurer profits have been significantly above 15% or even 20% of premium. There's a couple of years that are quite low, but they're kind of the exception that prove the rule. And as I'm sure you don't need me to tell you, but that's considered fairly out of line with community expectations. Insurers have had hostile sittings with the Legislative Council Law and Justice Committee, asking them why have insurer profits been so high. The regulator's been wrapped over the knuckles for such things. And so the question is, why is that happening? It's not necessarily that the insurers have sought for that outcome. Obviously, it's uncertain as to what the ultimate claims cost will be for a long tail class of business like CTP when you're talking an average mean term of 3 to 4 years into the future. And so it's understandable that the claims cost might be much higher or much lower than what is initially expected, but it's consistently lower than what is expected. So obviously insurers are making consistently high profits. And there's a report into this, and you can ask me a bit about this in question time if you want to know a bit more, which suggests that it's the lack of price competition, the enforced cross-subsidies in the scheme, and lack of market competition generally that potentially is causing or sustaining such high profits for insurers as well. And this is something that the Queensland scheme has sort of seen as well. So it's not just an issue in New South Wales. So when you add up those things, high numbers of claims, the costs of claims going up, and obviously continued high insurer profits, you're seeing high premiums, high and inefficient premiums in New South Wales. So that graph shows you the average metro car CTP premium by state. And you can see for New South Wales, we've got quite a high number there, over $700 on average compared to the other states there. So CTP is a compulsory product, obviously. So obviously that affordability is a really important consideration. And politicians obviously get concerned as well when motorists, who are also voters, are not happy with the amount they're paying. And in terms of efficiency, only 45 cents in every dollar of that premium is going to pay claim benefits. And of that, only 45% is actually going to the most seriously injured, those who are greater than 10% whole person impairment. So it's obviously a concern that what the scheme is for primarily, which is to compensate injured people in motor accidents, that's obviously becoming a smaller proportion of the total claim, total premium. So then what's the response? What has been the response? The first major response is to change the benefit structure. And so the government has sought to reduce the common law access in the current scheme to rely more on statutory or defined benefits in the way of delivering benefits to injured claimants. So when you go to more of a defined benefit scheme, you end up giving some money to the at-fault people who are the at-fault drivers in the accidents. So they get a little bit more. They go from 5,000 to 6 months of defined benefits. But let's focus on the not-at-fault claimants, the ones that can prove someone else was at fault. We've got a classification here between minor injuries and non-minor injuries. And one of the features of the new scheme is that minor injury claims will be sectioned off, and they'll only be allowed to get past economic loss for 6 months, past treatment and past care. No common law access and only those heads of damage. And so the aim is for those soft tissue injuries, those minor psychological injuries, for those claims hopefully just to drop out, or if they stay in the scheme, they're only going to get up to 6 months of benefits. And so the aim is also for, you know, the incentive for lawyers to represent these claimants to kind of be much reduced, and for claimants to not continue claiming. And if they do, obviously the costs are quite a cap there. The non-minor injuries that still have common law access have reduced common law access, and so basically past treatment and care are now not provided through common law, but provided through statutory benefits. And so the aim there is to address some of those common law buffers that have come through in the scheme, like, oh, I need someone to mow my lawn, you know, once every couple of weeks or something like that. These defined benefits will only be paid as need continues. And so there's no sort of, oh, 10,000 or 20,000 here will add to the settlement for this contingency that you might have this need way into the future. So that should reduce the costs as well. Actuaries have obviously come in here and they look at the new benefit design and they try and estimate, okay, what are the costs in the new scheme? And so a number of actuarial firms have engaged in that and sort of come up with an idea of about $120 per policy reduction in the premium that these benefit changes would achieve. So you should be getting your refunds or a lower premium very soon. But it's not just benefit changes. There's better fraud mitigation that's been going on. For too long, there's been this silo approach where insurers have been over here, the industry and other industry participants over here, government and law enforcement kind of separated, and no one really talking to each other and collaborating. So there's this new New South Wales Fraud Task Force, which has sort of brought them together. And they're doing a lot more in sharing information, sharing data. Insurers have been sharing data a lot more with law enforcement agencies. A lot of that statistical analysis, the claim segmentation and network analysis has been passed on to law enforcement as well to help respond to the fraud and exaggeration of claims. There was an establishment of this strike force, Ravens, which you may have heard in the media, of the New South Wales Police, which actually targeted CTP fraud. They've made a number of arrests. My factoid is old, but it's 10 arrests now in the latest article. You know, you've got a wedding planner and a smash repairer and an Iraqi refugee. So you've got a variety of different people who are considered ringleaders of organised criminal activity. That are staging accidents and milking the motorists of New South Wales. I guess from the insurer side, insurers are pushing back a lot more now on these minor injury claims, where previously they made the economic or commercial decision, well, we'll just settle it and grit our teeth because the costs of fighting it are a lot more significant than just settling it. But obviously, if that continues, you let a problem continue to balloon and to get out of hand. So insurers are doing that more. They're using that statistical analysis. They're creating flags to triage these claims and to send them off to more specialist parts of the claims management team to address these that are already reported to date. In terms of just some other considerations, I'm not going to talk about all these. Feel free to raise any of these that you want in question time. There's profit normalisation mechanism, which is basically to ensure that any excess above excess profits from insurers are handed back to the motorist. In lower premiums in subsequent years. It's a very controversial measure for a privately underwritten scheme. But just, I want to touch on just briefly to close on sustainability. This scheme needs to be sustainable. It needs to last for a while. The current scheme has lasted for over 15 years, and so obviously politicians don't want to spend political capital in reforming a scheme and then have the same issues that they're addressing now only return in, say, 5, 6, 7 years' time. So the biggest area of sustainability in those benefit reforms that we looked at earlier is the minor injury test. If that becomes weak and a lot of claims are able to get over that and they can get access to common law and the lawyers give an incentive to represent them. And so obviously that would add to scheme costs like we've seen already. So that's obviously the concern and I'll leave that thought with you as to where things will go in the future and who knows what will be presented at the arguments in 5 years' time. Thank you very much.